CBS is Frank DeCaro live in New York City. Doria Biddle is live in Los Angeles, part of our gleeful bi-coastal fun fest we call the Frank DeCaro Show here on Sirius OutQ 109. I'm very excited to welcome our next guest. This is, you know why? Because it makes me happy when Dory is happy. And I know Dory is happy that we're going to welcome Shane McDougall, the writer and director of Wiener Takes All, a documentary, and it's about dachshund races. Shane, welcome to our show.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
It makes me happy to have you here, but Doria is beside herself. As a dachshund owner herself.
Uh-oh.
She's, yes.
I was raised by dachshunds. I mean, it goes back generations in
feral,
my family.
Feral dachshunds. She was raised by feral dachshunds.
A pack of feral.
Yes.
Exactly. So, Doria knows more about this than I do, so I got to ask you a question, though. How long has dachshund racing been going on, and how did it get started, and how widespread is it?
Well, to be honest, we were able to trace it back to, I can't even remember the exact year right now. Of course, you put me on the spot. It was early 1900s.
Wow.
But but they were really small affairs. I mean, really tiny things. And they were more like the breeders did these kind of agility tests and speed tests or what have you. But it really, really took off after after a San Francisco football game. And a halftime commercial in, I believe it was 84. Which was,
I remember that commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
The Miller Lite commercial, which went on to be one of the most successful ad campaigns in American advertising history. And within a year, dachshund racing was, well, off and racing.
You know, we didn't want to reveal this because we don't like to tell our age, but Doria actually did host that first one, and it was about 1914, and Doria was a host there. It was with Porter was much younger then, and so was Doria, but it was
did
well.
And how did you get caught up in this sordid world?
This odd world?
Yes.
I was sitting on the couch one day, and this news report came on about the Wiener Nationals. Which is basically the de facto national championship. And I found out this thing was going on, you know, a block away from my house. So I was like, no, there's no way this is. I thought, it's some sort of media hoax or whatever. So I dragged my ass off the couch and went down the next day. And sure enough, there were, the top eight racing dachshunds from across America lined up in front of thousands of people. And I went, man, I got to get this on film.
And are you a dachshund owner yourself?
Here's my dirty confession. I actually have four cats.
We outed him on our show.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. He's a cat owner who made a documentary.
Well, I wanted to go in without a preconceived notion, as a pure documentarian. If you go in as a dachshund owner, you already have these preconceptions of what a dachshund is and the whole world. I came in as a complete stranger and learned the world from the ground up.
And because I've been to probably about six of these here in Los Angeles, and they've really become huge events where the tracks are selling out, and I've brought my dog there, but he didn't terribly like it, but I never raced him. But people bring their dogs, and they're just hanging out with their dogs, and then a lot of the dogs are out there racing. But it's all pretty. I always thought people seem to have a real sense of humor about it, but have you discovered that people are actually more competitive than I observed?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Well, first off, they are, without a doubt, one of the most, I call it the most popular sport you've never heard of. But if you talk to dog tracks and horse tracks across the country, if it's not their top event, it's one of the top three attended events. Los Alamitos, just at Los Angeles, it is their top event. 13,000 people, standing room only. It's gigantic. Like any sport, you have the casual interloper who just kind of, let me see what this is about. But our film we followed six of the top dogs. And these guys are definitely hardcore racers. Hardcore.
And why do you think it's so popular?
It's so cute, I guess, is the best way to. I mean, you just cannot watch a dachshund race and not smile. You just can't. It's physically impossible. It's mathematically impossible.
And And that's also, I think, why it's always on the news whenever there's a local dachshund race. They always have to send a news crew out to cover it because it's one of those charming, feel-good stories.
Well, yeah, well, for the TV editor, for the assignment editor, it's like, you know, it's a no-brainer. Hey, I got these cute little wiener dogs that are dressed up and they're going to be racing. Yeah, I mean, and you know it's going to get at least a minute on TV.
And it's so completely ridiculous because they are not engineered for racing.
Well, they aren't, and that's why there's quite a big controversy about it. Believe it or not, the Dachshund Club of America is vehemently opposed to wiener dog racing. And we actually, when we started the documentary, we were doing, our documentary doesn't just cover wiener dog racing. I mean, it's kind of centered around the wiener dog racing, but we also did the Show Dog World, and we went to Westminster and that whole thing. And it was really bizarre because at first everyone in the show dog world, you know, all the really big heavy hitters that we'd set up interviews with had agreed to talk to us, and then all of a sudden they started pulling out and wouldn't return my calls. I got uninvited from a party. I was going, what the hell is going on? And then I found out, you know, they were afraid I was going to be talking about wiener dog racing, which they are absolutely opposed to. And for them, it's because, you know, there's health issues because the dogs really are not engineered to race on uneven ground, which a lot of the tracks are. And they're also worried about it becoming commercialized, becoming like the greyhounds. And, I mean, I think most people know what happens to greyhounds when they don't win. You know, you don't put them out to pasture. You put them out to the dumpster.
I was thinking about that as well. Yeah, that they really should keep the prize money down or something so it doesn't become something that people are actually breeding their dogs for and really pushing their dogs.
Well, some of the people we've followed, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, what the prize money is, some of the people we follow travel from race to race to race. If they don't win in San Diego, they'll race at LaSalle. If they don't win at LaSalle, then they'll go to Reno. If they don't win in Reno, then they go to Sacramento. If they don't win in Sacramento, they go to Phoenix. All to chase like $1,000 to $2,000, which is, you know, the national prize is only a couple grand. And they end up spending several times that amount of money to win.
I would say, definitely, it's got to cost more to go to these things and keep your dog healthy and all that stuff than it is to win $2,000.
Oh, yeah, but in the show dog world, it's even worse. I mean, we discovered that there were, it costs $100,000 to get your dog to Westminster. I mean, some of these, there's wiener dog syndicates where like six or seven guys will go in on a wiener dog because, you know, it's very expensive. They buy ads. These guys, I mean, wiener dogs have their own press agents. You know, I mean, it's insane. It's this world that like I said, most people have no idea this world is out there. But once you get inside it, you're just like amazed that it's out there.
And how much of this, like, what's the general tone of the documentary then? Is it sort of a comedic look at this, or does it get kind of serious and make you worry about these poor dogs?
Both. I mean, we get a ton of laughs. I mean, it's definitely a very lighthearted documentary, but there are segments in it that are, it's definitely not recommended for children, because there are some pretty, you know, hard scenes in it. You know, especially when we get into the Greyhound thing, and why the DCA is opposed to it, and that sort of thing. We have some undercover footage we had from some vet clinics, where they just started euthanizing Greyhounds from the tracks, and dog after dog after dog after dog.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it's shot very well, so it doesn't freak. Surprisingly had kids at our world premiere last week, and I was freaking out, pacing. Oh, my God, what's going to happen now? I could see the lawsuits happening. But, I mean, they handled it. So I guess kids are so savvy now. I mean, they're playing video games where they're blowing away, you know, 10 people a second. So, you know, a dog gets put down by a needle. Big whoop.
I was hoping you were going to say it was just like full frontal dachshund nudity or something. It was what we were worried about.
There is.
Plenty of that.
Oh, my friend, there is.
Art, do dachshunds more than other... I mean, is there something about them because of their groovy shape that makes them even more interesting to make a documentary about?
They're just adorable dogs. I mean, they really are. And they're an extremely loyal dog. I mean, the really funny thing was that every dachshund owner we talked to basically said that their dachshund ran their lives. And, you know, they're probably one of the most loyal dogs. And just adorable. I mean, just a real heart to them. And the dogs that race, I mean, they're real serious racers. I mean, if you'd asked me before I started this documentary if, you know, a dog understands the concept of competition and winning and losing, I mean, all year round, when they lose the races, they look devastated. They're limp. They're just, they're really, you see it in their eyes. And then you see them, you know, at the starting line, some of them are trying to stare down the competition. Or if they're on the sidelines, you can see, Heidi Rue is, she's one of the Los Al regulars. You can see whenever she gets to the races, she just starts shaking and barking at the other dogs. Like she wants to be out there. She wants to race. It's really amazing to see.
Has the sport changed a lot since Doria's first race in 1914, or not?
Well, I don't have too many records about, you know, I know that the Kaiser won one race, but I mean, there's been some changes. I mean, really, at some places, the owners would run with the dogs, which is kind of a really bad idea, because if you trip and fall on the dog, that's just ugly for everybody. So most places now have, you know, they've set up their own rules, and they understand that, you know, you really have to have kind of a controlled environment, because a lot of these races, you open the gates, and 90% of the dogs don't go to the other end of the track.
Exactly.
They
pour
out and go every which way but the other end of the track.
They start sniffing each other, but every time I've seen it, there are owners on the track with like squeaky toys that they're throwing and trying to get the dogs to run.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, everyone trains with a squeaky toy, which is fine in your backyard.
Yeah.
But then you get in front of a screaming crowd of 13,000 people. 50 yards away, you have 8 other owners that all have squeaky toys. You know, if your dog hasn't trained really well, they're going to be freaked out.
But that's what I love about it, though, is that they open the gates and the dogs come out and start sniffing each other or going up to their owners or chasing the Wiener Schnitzel mascot or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's uncontrolled chaos. In fact, one of the Wiener Schnitzel organizers down here in San Diego, one of their first events, and this is, I think, we're talking about how, you know, the rules came about, they had their first race in a restaurant parking lot. And they opened the gates, and the dogs took off, and one of the dogs just took off into the middle of the street. And there was this breaching of brakes, and this deathly silence where everyone like, oh, no.
Not a good idea.
Right, and I think then they realized and say, okay, now we got to have a controlled environment. But the dog was okay. Didn't get hit by a car. But I'm sure there were a lot of soiled underpants that day.
I would say so. Shane, how long did it take to make Wiener Takes All, your documentary about dachshund racing?
It took 3 years. We traveled the country. We went from, I believe we traveled 8 or 9 different states. It might even be more than that. We followed the Wiener racing circuit. We followed the dog show circuit. And then we did something called Earth Dog, which is where the dogs basically go underground to hunt their prey, basically to train them for what they were originally bred for, which was to hunt badgers underground. So, it's, you know, a lot of these clubs, these dachshund clubs, have these things called Earth Dog, where they're trying to keep these, these original traits in the dog. And it's pretty funny, because you have to call your dog out within a certain amount of time, and the dog is in the tunnel having a grand old time, and he does not want to come out. So as the minutes tick down, the owners get more and more frantic and start screaming. It's kind of like the three, the seven phases of death or whatever. You know, it starts out with begging and pleading and finally acceptance that your dog's not coming out of that hole.
That's like me trying to get my dog off the couch.
Oh yeah, forget it.
I love your poster. You do have a website. It's wienertakesall.com, and there's a copy of your poster, which is apparently a shot of a very pivotal moment in one of the races.
Yeah. Well, that is probably one of the most controversial moment in Wiener dog racing history. In that photo, Noodles, who's quite a famous dog, Noodles had won the race. This was for the national championships, had won the race, but then it was re-raced because of a false start. He was actually in the box that opens, you know, there were two gates, and one set of gates opened later than the first gate. He was in the gates that opened, later. He still won the race, but they re-raced it. And in the second race, he got bumped out. And this is a moment of him getting bumped by another dog. And
you can see it in his eyes.
It's the best sports picture of all time. One dog.
It really is.
Right. Noodle's eyes is like, oh no. And the other dog's eyes are like, yes. And the really interesting part of it is this was the second year in a row this has happened to Noodles. The year before, he won the national championship, and then it was re-raced again because of a false start, and he lost. So the good news is, we start our film with the following year where he actually wins, and then we follow him through the year as he trains and gets ready to see if he can hold on to it for a second year in a row.
I imagine you can buy the posters on your website. Are they selling well? If you're a Doxy owner, you'd be like, I have to have this.
I mean, no word of a lie. It truly is, I think, the greatest sports photo of all time. I mean, it just has that absolute look of competition. And and when people see that poster, they'll understand what I'm talking about how these dogs understand winning and losing. I mean, you can just see it in the eyes and the face.
Yeah, well, dachshunds are very empathetic beasts anyway, and being a dachshund freak myself, I know it really is like being in a cult, and I'm sure there are a lot of bizarre characters in your film that show up with their dogs for the Doxy races.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call them freaks. I mean, some of them are really invested in their dogs. I mean, way too invested in their dogs, maybe, but invested in their dogs. I mean, they love their kids. I mean, these dogs are their kids. I mean, of a lot of the people we interviewed, I'd say about half of them don't have children, can't have children, or, you know, for whatever reason, don't have children, and their dachshunds are their kids. And you know how parents are with kids. I mean, their kids can do no wrong, their life revolves around their kids. Well, transpose that to a wiener dog, and you have the wonderful world of wiener takes all.
In a competitive environment, it's like Little League parents or pageant parents. I'm sure that there's a lot of passion there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in our film, there's allegations of doping, race fixing. In the show dog world, I mean, the show dog world is even more cutthroat. I mean, it is amazing, some of the stuff we got on tape. I mean, we have nationally ranked judges basically telling us that it's fixed. I mean, the whole thing is fixed, and this is a sport that people are paying $100,000 to get their dog to the top of the podium.
Yeah, that's it's something that I can't, as a non aficionado, I can't really tell what on earth they're judging on and that sort of thing. But where can people see Wiener Takes All, because it's touring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this weekend we have our U.S. premiere in San Francisco at the San Francisco Dog Fest, and we're at the Roxy Theater, which is at 3117 16th Street, and we're on Saturday at 2:45, and then Sunday at 7 p.m. And then we head out to Bend, Oregon for Bend Film, which is kind of the new Telluride, and that's on Friday, October 12th at 12:45, and Sunday, October 14th. Go to bendfilm.com to find out, or sfnd.com to find out. Or to get tickets or to find out times and locations.
And is it
or
up on
Wiener Takes All?
Oh, yeah. If you go to wienertakesall.com or go to our MySpace page, is there too. MySpace/wienertakesall. And it's WIEN, not WEIN. That's a big mistake everybody makes.
I was going to say, the hardest thing about loving this movie is remembering how to spell wiener. You know?
I spelled it wrong for the first year until I got a really big scolding from a dachshund owner. Yep. And then I learned my lesson.
And you don't want to mess with a wiener, I'll tell you.
You really, really don't.
What other subjects have you done as a documentarian?
This is my first documentary, and for the longest time, if I'd known what I know now about what goes into making a documentary, for the longest time, I would never have started it. And for the longest time, I said I would never do another one. But as this one wraps, I'm already starting my next one. So
what's the next one going to be about?
The next one is called A-Holes, A Scientific Study of Jerks. And we're trying to answer the age-old question, are jerks, born that way? Nurture or nature,
That's really funny.
And have you come to any conclusions yet?
No, we're just in pre-production right now, so it's going to be another 3 years of hell.
Do you like the A-Hole skit on Saturday Night Live?
I think it's pretty funny.
It makes me laugh, because it's like, oh my, especially living in New York, because you're like, oh my God, there's so many people exactly like that.
80%.
Yes, there was a guy on the subway today, and I was like, first I looked at him and thought, oh, you're hot, and then I looked again, and I was like, you're an a-hole. It just came over me. I was like, he's a total a-hole. He'd be just a complete jerk. And it was funny.
Well, any country you go to, I mean, there's a-holes. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's why we think there's a universal appeal for that movie, too.
So, it's from the sweet, adorable dachshund to to the annoying a-hole. I think you've got a great career ahead of you here as a documentarian.
Thank you very much.
Well, we'll check it out on the website, and we really appreciate it. And Doria, we'll have to go to see this. This sounds groovy.
Come on up.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, definitely. Thanks a lot, Shane McDougal. Wiener Takes All is the film. It's a documentary about dachshund racing.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. You're listening to The Frank DiChiaro Show featuring Porter Biddle on Sirius OutQ 109.